Hello all, and thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Week in Review, where I, James Tao, will take us through a look back at the week that was another week closer to the end of 2020, and have a look at some of the major economic and financial market headlines for the week. So let's quickly start with how we're performing on Friday. So far, we are recording this around 2 p.m. Sydney time. We have the ASX 200 down about a quarter of 1% or 15 points at the moment. It's just dipped back below that 6,200 point mark. Still, we've seen the Aussie market lift eight out of the last 10 sessions. Has been a pretty solid performance so far for the month of October as well. This week, up about 1.5% so far for the month of October, about halfway through, up roughly 6.5%, which is a pretty decent performance that we've seen, outperforming the major US indices so far for the month as well. And of course, there is plenty of attention with what's happening over in the United States, or we might start there. Of course, less than 3 weeks away now from this US election, there's plenty of interest in terms of the outcome there, and that certainly will play a part in how the markets have performed. And fairly common to see a bit of volatility in the markets leading up to these particular events. So that is certainly one risk moving forward, and something that we have seen a fair bit of, particularly on Wall Street of late. There, of course, the US quarterly earnings kicking off this week as well, something else to keep an eye on, how businesses are actually performing in this COVID economic recovery that we're kind of slowly going through at the moment. And speaking of COVID, the spread as well through the Northern Hemisphere continues to be something of concern or interest to those in that part of the world, particularly the United States, in Europe and the UK as well. And stimulus, can't forget that as well. Plenty of talk. Congress trying to negotiate some kind of fiscal stimulus bill, something that they've been talking about for a little while. Another bill is required, certainly to help with the US recovery, but that seems to be a slow process at the moment, unlikely to see anything until after that November 3 election. So what we've seen at the moment on the Aussie market has been a pretty strong showing. Last week it was the budget. This week, again, plenty of talk about the prospect of a November rate cut on Melbourne Cup Day. So we had a speech yesterday by the RBA Governor, Philip Lowe, basically the strongest hint yet that we could see that record low, currently at a quarter of 1% for the official cash rate, could fall to a tenth of 1%. More monetary easing, basically to help support the economy, continues to be rather uneven, depending on where you are in the country, due to the spread of COVID-19 in some states more than others. So, well, you know, great news for those investing in the markets. Certainly riskier assets generally perform better in low interest rate environments. Not necessarily great if you are a little more reliant on bank interest. So what we saw earlier in the week already was the ASX 200 hitting 7-month highs above that 6,200 point mark, and basically for the first time closing above that level for the first time in about 7 months, or since March 6 this year. Yesterday we also saw the September jobs data come through. Again, another sign that the economic recovery won't be smooth sailing. The unemployment rate lifting a touch to 6.9% from 6.8% in August. Slightly better though than the market's expectations, but still plenty of jobs being affected by the pandemic. So other big news to come through for the week. Of course, early on as well, we had plenty of talk about Australian coal and the potential that China had given some verbal instructions to stop accepting Australian coal imports. This is at a number of Chinese steel mills around the country in China. So that certainly has wreaked havoc on the local mining sector and also the miners with a coal exposure to China as well. So that's the likes of Whitehaven Coal, South 32, BHP even has a bit of coal exposure as well. New Hope and some of the smaller ones like Coronado have been hit quite hard. So those particular stocks have seen some rather large swings, both positive and negative, but mostly to the negative side for those coal miners. We've seen a number of large companies also releasing or holding their AGMs, their annual general meetings, of course, virtually as well. So Telstra this week had a pretty positive move on the back of theirs. Plenty of talk about the business wanting to maintain its return to shareholders through dividends, certainly something that Telstra was commonly known for. And that particular dividend that they've been paying has been impacted certainly by the performance of the business. They want to be able to maintain their current dividend and even increase it over time, which was seen as a positive by their shareholders, of course. CSL also lifting on the back of its AGM earlier this week, tightening their forward-looking guidance as well. So if we have a look at some of the best moving stocks and sectors for the week, no surprise that we see tech on top so far. And when we talk about the tech sector, it's hard to ignore or not mention the buy now, pay later stocks, and particularly Afterpay. So Afterpay this week hit a new record high, closing in on $100 at $98.68. This was a couple of days ago, and there was a release coming through that basically AUSTRAC, the financial crimes regulator, was investigating Afterpay in terms of their compliance frameworks into anti-money laundering, counter-terrorism financing. Certainly something that was a bit of a cloud hanging over its head. It's decided that after a final external audit, it's met all its requirements. Nothing is further required from the business. So certainly seen as a positive there. So Afterpay, one of the big movers this week to the upside, helping push the tech sector higher. Not so good for Zip, though. The one of the other larger buy now, pay later stocks on the Aussie market, actually among the biggest losers for the week. They saw a decent lift in terms of their September quarter trading update, a big lift in revenue, another lift in, of course, its active customers, but a lot of that either priced in or not enough to impress shareholders. Of course, we also have PayPal looking to move into that buy now, pay later space as well in the US, which will certainly have a big impact on buy now, pay later stocks here. They are trying to expand into the US, and that's a way of helping really grow their business. And if PayPal certainly takes a large market share, that could certainly be a troubling for those particular businesses. Elsewhere, we had the likes of the financials having a pretty strong week as well. Some of the regional banks doing a little bit better. Bank of Queensland up significantly this week. It released its full-year profit results. And the numbers on the surface, not great. Their cash earnings down about 30%. The final dividend, 12 cents per share, about 82% lower than the year before. But the fact that it had to defer a interim dividend in April, paying a final dividend, seen as positive. The circumstances as well, certainly a bit of positive coming through and moving forward. Management seemingly quite confident. So that really helped Bank of Queensland. Bendigo, another winner this week. Some other big stocks moving. Link Group, which is a share registry and administration company for super funds, having a big week, up more than 20% so far due to the fact that it had received a takeover from a private equity consortium. Some of the losers this week, no surprise that you continue to see travel stocks getting hit quite hard. Flight Centre, Webjet this week, again, some of the bigger losers. The material sector and industrials are also some of the losers this particular week. So that's a pretty quick wrap-up of the week for the Aussie share market. Appreciate you listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll do this again next week.